For a message, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's an Old Testament chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And it's part of Moses' farewell address to the children of Israel. And it's written as a song. So we'll be preaching from a song this morning, written by Moses and also says Joshua. And I'm not sure if they sang it later on or how they did that. But it's a song that he used as to give a history lesson to the people that he was about to leave, to help them remember the past and to give them direction for the future. You know, the crowd he was talking to in this chapter was mostly a different crowd than what he led out of Egypt. We know they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and because of their sin, those that came out of Egypt that were over 20 years old were not allowed to enter the promised land, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. And Moses spent the last 40 years leading this large group of people, God's chosen people. And he tried to teach them God's ways. He tried to teach them and lead them in the ways that God had taught him. He led them into many battles, many victories. He was with them through thick and thin, as we would say it today. He was their leader, their mediator, their judge, their intercessor. And now God had told him he was to die. His end was near. In verse 48 in the chapter, it talks about God tells Moses he was to climb the mount and there die. And so the children of Israel were very dear to Moses' heart. I mean, this was his life for the last 40 years. And he put a lot of efforts and work into leading them to God and leading them in God's ways. I'm sure he shed many tears for them. But now here he was at the end of his life, and he was giving his farewell address. What would you tell your loved ones if this was the last time you were going to talk with them? What would you tell your children, the church, if this was your last opportunity to talk to them? And none of us knows when that will be. Moses knew that this was his last time. But we would talk about those things that matter most in life. I think we should. Those things that matter most in life. And that's what Moses was talking about here in this chapter. And he was making a plea to the Israelites to remember their rock. Talks about that in verse 4. Their God. To not forget him. To remember him. To follow him. And he goes on to mention throughout the chapter, he makes a comparison between the gods of the Canaanites, their enemies, and the true God. You know, the Canaanites had many different gods. And the Israelites were drawn to these gods at times. They had a continual battle within themselves in gravitating toward the gods of the land. And these Canaanite nations, they said, you know, they have very powerful gods. But, you know, even they said their God couldn't stand up in the face of Israel's God. And the verse that really caught my attention is in verse 31. And I take my title from that verse. It says, "For their rock is not as our rock." For their rock, small letter R, is not as our rock, capital letter R. You know, the Israelites saw many, many rocks in the last 40 years. They were wandering in the wilderness, and they saw all kinds of shapes and sizes. And I'm not sure what all would have went through their mind when they thought about a rock. But we think of strength, stability, protection. And we all need and want that in life. Stability, strength, protection. We know we need something outside of what we can have in ourselves. I think that's a natural instinct of man that looks beyond what we have in ourselves. We look for something that brings stability, something that brings strength, protection. And the Canaanites in the land here were looking to man-made idols, gods that they could worship. But the Israelites were taught to look to their rock, capital letter R, their God, the true God. You know, and today we have the desire to find strength, stability, and protection. And what for gods are we looking to find that in? What for God? Where are we looking for that? The small letter R, rock, or the capital letter R, rock, the true rock? And I know I'm speaking to a group of people here this morning that have a desire and know the true rock, God. But there's many in the world that are looking for other things, and we all have that tendency at times to look other places than what we should. And in the last maybe weeks, months, we've probably been more politically informed about some things, or following politics, if you want to say it as such, a bit more than sometimes, with the elections and all that happened in that. And that's a little bit what stirred my thinking on this verse and some of these things. You know, we heard a lot of, I will do this, I will do that. Both sides of the party were saying that. And political figures and those in government really do have an impact on our nation, in the direction of our country. And we can praise the Lord that He put in power the one that He chose to put in power, not necessarily who we think is best or not best. It's the one that He chose. You know, and we all heard the phrase, make America great again. And that, you know, we've heard that many times. And I'm all for that. We need to make America great again. But making America great again will not happen without making the church great again. And also without not making the families great again. It will not come by some earthly leader making this happen. But it will come by making the church great again and making the families great again. And that only goes back, and that only can happen by going back to the true rock. For their rock is not as our rock. And we need to remember that. So often we can think, you know, well, if so-and-so gets in leadership position, you know, things will change. They might change, but they won't necessarily change towards God. But it's important that we as Christians remember that their rock is not as our rock. There's two different kingdoms. Let us never forget our true rock. The world and its people have their ideas. They have their ways of greatness, how that would make America great again. Some might be right, some might be good. And we're very blessed to live in the country that we do. And yet we dare not forget our true rock, God. You know, the world tries to secure their future in their many different rocks, small letter R rocks. Just a few that I had thought of, the rock of popularity. You know, people like to be popular. And human nature, that's how we are. We like to be popular. But if we are trying to secure our life on the rock of popularity, it won't pan out. What is popular continues to change. Styles and fashions come and go. And we become a slave to our friends and those around us if all that we care is going after popularity. That is not a true rock, but it's a rock that many in today's world are going after. I thought of the rock of possessions. Yes, we need to be wise stewards of what God has entrusted to us. But Matthew 6, 19 and 20 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." You know, the things in this world lose value very quickly. They lose their value and pass away. They're never truly satisfying, this rock of possessions. So many people go after possessions, and they want more, and they want more, and there's just no lasting satisfaction in that. They also go after the rock of pleasure, the latest thrills, sooner outdated, and something else, something bigger needs to take its place. We need more thrills, bigger and better rides, and the list could go on and on of these pleasures. Also, wholesale immorality, personal pleasure, glamour, leaves a person feeling empty, dejected, and dirty. And you see that so much in today's world. You know, they go from one thing to the next. Pleasure, the rock of pleasure that they're looking for, and they're not finding, not finding that lasting true pleasure in that. They have to go on from one to the next, and it leaves them feeling empty. And then the rock of power. If I was in power, I would do this or I would do that. We heard that many times. But this doesn't change people's hearts. And yeah, there's some things that leaders can do. But looking to the rock of power does not bring satisfaction either. They always want more. Rule over more land, more people. We have a prime example of that in today's world. Wants more and more. Self-ego leads to destruction, not only for their life personally, but for the country they're in and many others. This rock of power certainly is not a lasting rock. We could look at an ever-growing list and an ever-changing list of these small-letter rocks that the world looks to. But our future will never be secure or truly satisfying unless we secure it and find it in our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's important this morning, that we look to the true rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. For their rock is not as our rock. We need to remember that. Chapter 32 in Deuteronomy. Moses gives quite a few different word pictures in this chapter about a lot of different things, but also about this true rock. And I'd like to look at that a little bit this morning. I think I'll read the chapter. It's a lengthy chapter, but we'll stop and make some comments in between. And we'll think about this true rock that Moses was trying to get the Israelites to put their faith and their confidence in. and to stay with him. The Israelites, like us today, have a tendency to go away from God. That is human nature. And we need to continue to remind ourselves who this true rock is. And Moses was going back in history and trying to teach the Israelites from their history and try to encourage them that this rock is really a rock that is worth putting your faith and trust in. Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Verse 4, He is the rock. His word is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. So our rock is a perfect rock. He's complete. He's undefiled. That rock that we have the privilege of knowing personally, the privilege of serving, and the only rock that will take us through life and on into an eternity with Him. It's the only life that's worth living, living for this true rock. Verse 5, they have corrupted themselves. Moses is talking about some of the things that the Israelites have gone through. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness he led them about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And he's talking about how the Lord worked in the wilderness. Here was this group of, I didn't really look how many people it was, but I think it was over 1 million people that God kept as those 40 years in the wilderness, in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness, he calls it. He fed them. Verse 11, he uses another picture. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He talks about God, their rock, as being their sustainer, their protector. And verse 11 talks about an eagle stirring up her nest. And it's interesting how you'll see birds do this. You know, their young ones find comfort. They find their sustenance in their nest. It's a comfortable place. But here we see this eagle stirring up her nest, fluttering her wings, and trying to get their young birds to take flight, to go away from the only thing these little birds know as their home. But this eagle also goes and taketh them, bearing them on her wings. So this eagle is trying to get their little ones to fly. But he doesn't just let them drop. He goes underneath them and bears them up when they become weary. And sometimes God tries to take us out of our comfort zone so that we can climb higher. But he's always there to sustain us and bear us up when we become weary. And you know, we probably all find ourselves in that situation in life sometimes, where God is trying to teach us something and we don't understand, just like these young birds don't understand sometimes what their mother is trying to teach them, chase them out of their comfort zone, the place they find refuge and strength. But this eagle is trying to get their little ones to climb higher, go something better. And we find ourselves so comfortable sometimes at our spot in life, and God tries to take us to some place higher. And so often we don't understand that. We don't understand why he's trying to do this. It seems like it's the way down, but he's trying to stir us higher. But he's there to sustain us and to bear us up when we become weary. So if it feels like God is taking you out of your comfort zone, he wants something better for you. And he will be there to sustain you, to strengthen you, to lift you up, to give you the grace to climb higher. I like that picture. But so often we don't take it in the right way. Verse 12, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. So many good things that God gave to his people as they were wandering in the wilderness. Verse 15 goes on, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. And here gives a picture, a bit of maybe a thin, poor-looking horse that now is being well taken care of. He's growing fat. He's being sustained by the master. Only to turn against that very master that is providing everything that he needs. And forgetting where his feed comes from. Verse 15, but Jeshurun waxed fat. It's also talking about the Israelites. And kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Israel and so many of us today tend to be like that horse, who turn away from God and forget that he is the one that is actually sustaining us. He is the one that has given us what we have, and yet so quickly we lightly esteem the rock of our salvation. This rock, this true rock, we may not lightly esteem him. He is the one that provides our salvation. He is the one that provides our sustenance. Verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Verse 18, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Our Creator, this true rock, is our Creator. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, Our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even as our enemies themselves, being judges. Here is our defender, our champion. And there were times in Israel's history when they went out to fight, and the odds were totally against them, and yet their rock, their defender, went before them. And it says to put 10,000 to flight. But he says, how could that happen? Except their rock had sold them, or except that their rock had gone out before them, the Lord. Verse 31, even the enemies knew that the true rock, God, was above their gods. And in going through this, you know, I had to think, how often do I think about what God has done for us? And how often do I quickly turn away from following this true rock? That tendency to go away from him. Verse 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. We need to again and again be reminded to consider our latter end. Consider this true rock that has done so much for us. Verse 32, for their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asp. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock, in whom they trusted? The small letter rock. Where are all these things that they went after, that they trusted in? Where are they? Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, that there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour your flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And we see how he went up to the mountain. He had trespassed against God and could not go into the promised land, but he could see it. But Moses had a burden for his people. He knew his end was near, and he tried to teach them and to guide them and help them see their true rock, that the true rock is the only rock that is worth looking to. There's a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about the true rock. And my desire is that we could look to that true rock. Not only us, but that we would say, like it says in verse 46, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify unto you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. Not only that we know this true rock, but that we teach it to our children and to our children's children. And that is how this Christian faith can go on. You know, so quickly it can die out in one generation if it's not passed on. And if that true rock isn't part of our life, how are we going to pass it on? We have that responsibility to teach our children about that true rock. 1 Samuel 2, verse 2 says, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. It was part of Hannah's prayer. He's holy. He's the source of our help and our salvation. This true rock that we have the privilege and the opportunity to serve, the privilege to know him personally. 2 Samuel 22:3, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. There's a place of protection. What a blessing that we can go to that true rock and find protection. We can find sustenance. We can find help in this true rock. Psalm 118:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Again, this rock that we can go to in time of storm, times when we're facing things in life that seem perilous, we can go to this true rock and find strength. We can find protection. It says he's my high tower, or it gives us a vantage point that the world does not have. You know, sometimes the world wonders how we can go on with things in life when difficulties arise. But we have that vantage point that our true rock gives us. We can look beyond what this world has to offer. Verse 46 in Psalm 118, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. There's a call to honor and glorify that great rock, the Lord Jesus. There's a lot of other scriptures we could look at about our rock. Matthew 7:24 and 25 talks about building our life on the rock, represents stability, things that never change. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about this rock being the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've looked at different verses, different aspects of this rock, the true rock, God. And let us never get sidetracked by the little rocks that this world has to offer, that this world looks for, these small letter R rocks. May we always forget, never forget, always look to our true rock, the Lord Jesus. And may we do what Moses said in verse 46. Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. And may we be faithful in doing that. We have that true rock. God has done so much for us. If we were to write our history, what would it look like of those great things that God has done for us? Times when He's lifted us up, has carried us through. May we never forget Him. For their rock is not as our rock.